Rainmaker FM is brought to you by the Showrunner Podcasting Course, your step-by-step guide to developing, launching, and running a remarkable show. Registration for the course is open August 3rd through the 14th, 2015. Go to showrunnercourse.com to learn more. That's showrunnercourse.com.
Howdy and welcome back to Rough Draft, your daily dose of essential web writing advice. I am Damian Farnworth, your host. I'm also the chief content writer for Couple Legger Media. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the next few minutes of your life with me. And hey, listen, this is episode 90. We're like 10 episodes away from 100. So in a little pre-celebration, let's do something a little different today. Just a little different. Let's talk about music. So tell me if you recognize any of these names. The Antlers, Real Estate, Tune Yards, M83, Beirut, Y Oak, Feist, Tom Waits, The Head and the Heart, James Blake, Radiohead. Now, if you do recognize any of those names, then I can probably predict this about you. You prefer music on the margin over music in the mainstream. And if you probably had your ear to the ground in 2011. But if you don't recognize any of those, don't worry. You probably prefer mainstream over the marginal. But then you at least probably recognize these two names, Tom Waits and Radiohead. Is that true? Now, I'll tell you why this is important in a few minutes. All right, so back in 2012, I was building a playlist. I was building several playlists on Spotify, the best albums of each year. And here's how that process was working. So I would sort through the annual best of lists, best of year, best of annual lists at places like Paste and Pitchfork and Rolling Stone, sites dedicated to music. I would scan the list, read the short descriptions of the albums that looked promising, I'd listen to a few tracks, then dump all the albums I think I might like into a Spotify playlist. Then over the course of a week or more, I'd start to delete bands I don't like. In the end, there might be 10 or 12 bands in that particular playlist, or even less, right? But after starting this, like back in late November, the year 2012, I'd only made it, like within 2 months, I only made it back to 2010, so it only covered like 3 years because this was really kind of time consuming. But there was a really interesting side result of this little project, especially as I started to reach back further and further to later years. And this side effect was a feeling of despair. Despair over what, you might be thinking? So despair over like, where are these bands now? Beirut, White Oak, Feist. Have they fallen apart? Are they working on a new project? Are they even alive? As we know, overdosing on drugs and alcohol is an occupational hazard of being a musician. But so the despair comes from the sense that if you do not have a new album out, then you do not have attention. They were obscure. In other words, they're pretty obscure. Alright, true, some bands spend their time in between records touring, which is just another form of promotion, so they are out there in a sense. But the thing is like, it seems like the activity has to be endless if you want to always be in the spotlight, which, you know, another effect of, which is a questionable, right, is a questionable thing to be concerned about. But another effect of listening to all these bands is that I realize how good they are. This is hard, right? These are really good bands, but they're being forgotten so easily. And clearly some were better than others, but for the most part, they're all pretty good. For example, in my 2012 bucket of albums, the standout in that was this album by Alta J called An Awesome Wave. Almost every single song was good, and some were just simply great. Most records, though, in that playlist on the word. They might have 6 songs that were really good, maybe less, maybe 1 that wasn't really great. Still, they are all really good songs by talented musicians, right? They were listen worthy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on a best album list of the year, right? So it's no secret that competition in the music business is very stiff. And how many bands recorded? I mean, think about how many bands recorded albums each year, easily hundreds, if not more. The thing is, as a listener, there's no way to keep up with them. And some bands may be great, but simply get lost in the clutter. And is it just me? Or is that depressing? Here's why. So this situation is identical to writers and, you know, to writing books, writing blogs. Thousands of books published each year, but only a handful are standouts. Most of them find their way on the remainder shelves in stores, forgotten and neglected, abandoned. Furthermore, only a handful will have 10,000 readers. The rare will sell hundreds of thousands, and the rarest, millions. Most of us, if we ever write a book, out of 100 of us, if we write a book, probably none of us will write a $1 million bestseller. So, and of course, switch blogs for books, and the problem goes supernova, right? The making of books indeed causes sorrow, but especially for those who get lost in the clutter. It is threatening seeing all of that competition, but even more sobering realizing how easily books or music or blogs can be forgotten. And so this is where I want to bring back Tom Waits and Radiohead in. So one of the reasons that singer-songwriter Tom Waits and that English rock band Radiohead are recognizable, in other words, popular, is because of their legacy. They have a long track record of getting it done. Some of it is, yes, subpar, but as a general rule, most of it is pretty good. And then there are the exceptional records from these bands. Radiohead has 3 that I know of. Tom Waits, I'm not really sure, because I'm not a big Tom Waits fan. But here are 4 lessons from this little project, this little discussion that we've been having. So 1, you've got to keep producing. More than likely, you won't create the perfect album or the sublime book or the sort of blockbuster blog, nor the 2nd, nor the 3rd best. But maybe on the 4th or 5th, you strike gold. But regardless, you just keep producing. And 2, you stop comparing yourself to the charts. We all do this, don't we? We'll get depressed if we do. When we compare ourselves to other people, we get depressed. 3, put fame in perspective. In 1 or 2 generations, like it or not, J.K. Rowling and Stephen King will probably be footnotes in literary history. If they are lucky, right? You and I, if we are lucky, we'll be the footnotes of someone who is semi-famous. And the lesson is this: be a great lover of people at the expense of writing, not the other way around. Do not elevate fame above relationships. And then finally, 4, enjoy. Enjoy, enjoy. If you suffer from an intractable drive for supremacy, then you occasionally have to slap yourself because you get too serious. You take yourself too seriously. You have to slap yourself to bring yourself back to your senses and live in the present. To live in the moment of creation and relish the people around you and the things that you're doing, because it doesn't last. Enjoy the journey, right? It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. So let me repeat, just keep on trucking, because even if you never strike gold, a reliable track record might get you the Lifetime Achievement Award. And that's nothing to be ashamed about. Listen, in the end, you have to ask yourself this question: would you prefer to be remembered as the one-hit wonder, or the one with a substantial body of work? I personally vote for the 2nd. You? Take care and see you at episode 91.